Welcome to the Fundamental Entrepreneur Podcast, where entrepreneurs come to be educated, enlightened, and empowered for success in their business pursuits. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Fundamental Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Dallimore. I'm sure excited that you've decided to join me today. I'm looking forward to yet another episode and for what we're going to be talking about today. But before we get started, I just want to make sure that everybody takes a moment to go out and rate and review our podcast. It always helps us out to know how we're doing. So please take just a minute and go do that for us. We'd really appreciate it. Well, today we have a very special guest. I would call him a friend. I don't know if he'd call me a friend, but I call him a friend. Looking forward to talking with Steve today. Our guest today, Steve Sargent with Sargent Insurance Group. Steve and I have known each other for some time now, for a number of years, and Steve is a fellow entrepreneur, so that's exciting. So we'll get a little bit of maybe his background. But Steve is the, as I said, the founder of Sargent Insurance Group, and he's going to be talking to us about insurance today, something that I think we all know is important, but oftentimes we forget and don't fully maybe understand why we need it. So Steve, welcome to the podcast. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me. Definitely consider Darren a friend as well and look forward to our conversation today.
Well, appreciate that, Steve. I'm glad you can still call me a friend. Well, let's dive into this, Steve. I think I first want to start off, as I mentioned, you are an entrepreneur. You went out and actually you were one of the ones that told me I needed to go out and start my own firm, do my own thing, because you had done it. So maybe take just a few minutes here and just give a brief background on maybe your entrepreneurial journey, how you became the founder and creator of Sargent Insurance Group, kind of what led you there.
Sure. So back in 2010, I was working as an advertising salesman for Harris Publishing, and the main publications I was working for were boating publications. And if anyone remembers back in 2008, there was a bit of a correction in the economy. And a lot of the manufacturers that I was dealing with were having a hard time choosing whether or not to keep the lights on, let alone buy advertising in printed publications. And so business was tough. And my cousin at the time was an American Family Insurance agent and invited me to come and be an agent in his office. And so I spent a couple of years with him at his American Family office. And then after that, started my own agency. I guess that was 2012, and had a successful agency with American Family for a couple of years. As a captive agent in the industry, you kind of are strapped to whatever rates your carrier is able to provide. And I could see those rates fluctuating. And with a significant portion of my book of business being friends and family, I could see that this might not be the best situation for them and myself, you know, kind of being strapped to whatever rates our carrier was able to provide. Great, great company. And I was able to gain benefit from a lot of their training programs, on both the commercial and personal lines worlds. But like I said, because of, you know, the situation with loss ratios and different pricing structures, ultimately decided that the best thing for me, you know, at an early stage in my insurance career was to strike out on my own and go the independent route. So in 2014, we founded Sargent Insurance Group and joined with kind of an insurance cluster, which gave us the opportunity to partner with multiple insurance carriers. And, so fall of 2014, we started Sargent Insurance Group as a fully independent insurance brokerage. And with that, we had access to many carriers and basically opened the doors for opportunities to place all of our customers with ultimately the best company that fit their specific situation, which I think is really key in our industry, is matching the customer to the right carrier for their needs and for their specific situation. And anyway, we've had steady growth since then. We work with two basically full-time licensed professionals, with a third kind of helping out in the office. And our book has steadily grown since then. We've been recognized as the top insurance agency through the Post Register for a couple of years, and really just value the relationships we have with our clients in the community.
Awesome. Well, that's really cool. And I appreciate you sharing that, Steve, because like I said, it was you and another friend of ours that kind of, after you'd made the move to go out on your own, you kept telling me, you just need to go out and do it. Just make it happen. And so it was kind of their advice that kind of pushed me, and among other things, to go out and do my own thing. And so appreciate you sharing that. And I guess I'd ask this question, Steve, before we dive into insurance, do you ever regret the decision to do the entrepreneurial path and all the pains and struggles that come with it?
Well, certainly not at this point. You know, the early days were a little bit lean and tough, and my wife is a nurse, and so she worked a few extra hours in those early years. But now we're definitely looking at scaling back her work as much as possible. I mean, we're definitely in a position now where her working isn't necessary, but it sure helped to kind of bridge that gap to make it possible for us to get the business going and get to where we are today. But absolutely no, I have no regret at this point. You know, it's easy once all the fight and the hardship is in the rearview mirror, it's much easier to answer that confidently. But no regrets whatsoever at this point. And I love where we're at.
Well, good. No, it's definitely a hard decision. We all experience that kind of nerve-wracking decision of making the move and going from maybe steady pay to who knows what's going to happen. And so at first there's always a struggle there, but in the end you look back and it seems to be, at least from what I've heard from most everybody I've talked to, the best decision they've ever made. So I'm glad to hear that was the case for you. Well, let's dive into today's topic, Steve, insurance. I think when we bring up this topic, a lot of people, it probably invokes some different emotions for people. Insurance is one of those topics that, especially in the health insurance realm, it seems to be one that rising costs all the time. But today we're not going to be talking about health insurance as much. We're going to talk more insurance as it relates to business and business insurance and those kind of things, just because I think this is an area that a lot of people maybe miss in their business decisions and maybe fail to understand the importance of it. I know I've teased you, Steve, a lot of times. If you look at the fine print in insurance policies, you can see that the place of origin is always from hell. And Satan is the creator of it. But just all joking aside, I understand the importance of insurance. And so let's dive into this. And I think maybe the first question we need to go touch base on, Steve, is, why do businesses need insurance? What's the reasoning behind the need for insurance for businesses?
Well, businesses, like any other situation, aren't unique. Statistically, the odds of you actually using and needing that insurance are not super great. And, you know, hence the affordability of the insurance premium is kind of related to that lack of need for the most part. The problem is, you know, there are circumstances that are outside of our control many times. Accidents happen, maybe mistakes. No one's perfect. And so as a result, you can find yourself, you know, because of some horrible accident or something that, like I said, is outside of your control, in a situation where your entire business could be destroyed and lost because of the financial penalties involved with something like that. So, I mean, that runs a gamut from just a general commercial general liability policy where, you know, slips and falls of somebody walking into your business would be covered, all the way down to specific, you know, industry specific coverage like errors and omissions with an accountant or other professional liabilities would cover, you know, where you could make a mistake in your accounting practice and cause someone to have some sort of tax penalty or something like that that would be covered, which, you know, without the insurance coverage in place, you could potentially lose your business and find yourself in a bad way. And so that's what it's there for. And when I talk to people on either side, personal or commercial, you know, that insurance should be viewed very much as a catastrophic protection. Too many people look at insurance, you know, in both sides of the world, personal and professional, as almost like a checking account. You know, I put my money into this, I should be able to pull it back out when the most minor things happen. But that's just a great way to see your premiums rise and your coverage dependability go away. So anyway. Okay.
So really kind of, I mean, it's this insurance is to help maybe mitigate the financial burden that could come from risk exposure that is just exists for being in business, just living in general, really.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that risk, you know, that there's different levels of risk that come per industry. So as an accountant, you know, we can put together a business owner's policy for you that's very minor in cost compared to somebody who's out working with the public in a construction industry or something like that, where the cause of harm is much, much greater. And I would say that's where the biggest exposure, I think, in most insurance policies or protection is for physical harm to people. And so, like accountants, you know, as far as the general liability policy goes, you know, there's not a big risk of you harming someone. But if you had an employee, a secretary that was driving a deposit to the bank and took somebody out in a terrible car accident, you could be looking at millions of dollars worth of exposure potentially. So sure. There are some significant risks involved, you know, regardless of the industry.
Okay. No, that makes sense. Now, I know a lot of people and maybe many of our audience members who are listening are probably thinking, okay, insurance, I've got a business. I mean, you kind of covered, maybe touched a little bit on some of the different types of insurance that are out there. And they're probably wondering, okay, what kind of insurance would I need? And now I know, Steve, you can't speak to everyone that's listening about the insurance coverage they need because it's unique in so many ways. Sure. But I'm sure, is there certain insurance coverages that businesses should be considering, and kind of what risks are they kind of trying to protect there?
Yeah. So most businesses could benefit from some type of BOP, we call it, or a business owner's policy, where basically you've got general liability protection involved, where, you know, like I mentioned earlier, a slip fall could be covered if somebody's coming into your building or just interacting with you for your general business practices. And that's probably something that would definitely apply to all the entrepreneurs out there. Just interacting with customers, there's risk involved. Things that are covered like on those types of policy can be things like hired auto. So if you got an employee that's running to the bank or something like that, that's definitely a huge exposure. And then other things, there's an endorsement on many commercial policies called EPLI, or employment practices liability insurance, where if you had a situation that might in a bigger firm be covered by an HR department. So if there was some sort of harassment lawsuit or something like that, you've got some protections in place for things like that. And so that's certainly a big, big exposure that could be taken care of with a policy like this. And for a small business, the expense for something like that, you know, can be pretty minor and not very costly in terms of, you know, the protection you're receiving in exchange for that premium.
Okay. Are you seeing these days, because of so much business is transacted over the internet, those that are maybe capturing customers' personal or financial data, are you seeing an influx of like cyber insurance related to cybersecurity, different things like that?
Well, I can tell you, most of the carriers that I work with have cyber protection as an option, because like you said, that's with people interacting so much more with the pandemic and just virtual options available for businesses to conduct business with that data being transmitted, you know, over the internet or whatever other, you know, means, computers and otherwise, there's a significant risk in that category. And so a nice feature on most of these basic business owners policy is cyber protection. So if that data happened to be breached somehow and someone captured your customers, you know, personal information, then you'd have protection to help, you know, fight those battles for you and take some of the financial sting out of that part of it as well.
Okay. So maybe something to recommend to those that are transacting financial data or different things over the internet is something that may be something they should be looking at to just Absolutely. Help in those cases, like you said, where it gets breached and now all of a sudden you're dealing with all these customers who have their financial or personal information stolen and you're the weak link. Lawsuits will probably be coming and hopefully that insurance will help cover that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's a nice, like I said, it's a very inexpensive feature. I mean, there tends to be more and more firewalls in place with that, with, you know, credit cards have options that can add some protection as well as your banks. But, you know, if you had a major data breach, there could be serious financial consequences that could cost your business and then some. And so, yeah, in terms of how much it would cost as an endorsement, it's absolutely worth that extra protection for a customer to have that in place and a okay. simple addition to a policy.
Okay. And then you did, you know, you did mention too, some things that are industry specific or business specific. And so would you recommend in that situation, you know, any business owner, probably the best thing to do is to maybe sit down with someone like you and just kind of rehearse, just give a good, I guess, discussion of your business, what you're doing, so that a professional like yourself can then step in and say, hey, this is come some of the coverage or areas of exposure I see and maybe ways to help protect you from that. Yeah.
Absolutely. Industries like yours, like accounting, there are specific coverages that you have to have in place with errors and omissions and stuff like that. But there are industries that aren't as heavily regulated where the risk is still there. And so it helps to sit down with an insurance professional that can help identify some of those risks that you might not even be aware of. And another thing we can do is sit down with you know, business owners and point out ways in which their business is at risk that they can mitigate outside of insurance. There's things you can do to help protect yourself that don't cost any money and, you know, different things you can do to mitigate those factors and prevent any kind of claims from happening or, you know, putting yourself in a risky position that would cause financial loss. So.
Okay.
Definitely no, and that, to an expert. Point.
What's that?
I was just saying it definitely helps to talk to an expert just because, you know, that's all we do all day long is look for possible exposures and ways that you might be harmed that you might not otherwise think of as, you know, a business owner.
Okay. Well, and I think that's a good point. And it kind of leads me to my next question, Steve, is as it relates to business owners and new business owners, and maybe in particular, but probably even for those that have been an entrepreneur for many years, in your experience, what do most business owners or businesses tend to miss when it comes to insurance? What are they forgetting to do? Or what are some of the things that maybe as you see, you're like, oh boy, it happens a lot. And it's things that we want our audience members maybe to avoid. What would you, any thoughts on that regard?
Well, that EPLI is one that I like that is not automatically included in most policies, employment practice liability. Whereas a business owner, and especially in a smaller office situation where you don't have an HR department, it protects you against things that you might not be regularly getting trained on. Another one is like an employment or employee dishonesty rider or endorsement or specific policy where if you've got somebody that's, you know, dipping into the till and pulling out, you know, helping finance a car payment with office funds, you know, over time, that can be a significant loss that might bring a business down. Another one is you want to make sure within your commercial business policy, if you're renting a premises where perhaps, you know, you've got $100,000 building that you're, or office space that you're renting. And if you were to somehow leave your heater on under your desk and burn the place to the ground, there could be some insurance adjusters come knocking on your door wanting to subrogate and gain payment from you because you were the cause of some damages. What was the other one I was thinking of? Another one that people think of, if you've got multiple business owners, or, you know, I work with a company that does, a car company that has a repair shop, and they have a shop manager that's kind of the go-to guy. And if he were to pass or leave, it would leave their shop in a real bad way. And so life insurance within a business operation can be a really key component to ensure that the business can continue to survive if one of the partners or a key person in the business were to pass. So you might get a buy-sell arrangement set up within the partnership so that if one of those partners passes, then a life insurance policy would basically pay off his estate so that the business can continue to operate as if he had never gone in the first place. And so that's definitely, you know, a partnership where you maybe have four partners, if you had to suddenly come up with 25% of the value of the business to pay off a destitute widow, it might bring the business down, whereas a life insurance policy could protect against something like that.
Oh, so yeah, no, I'm glad you mentioned that. Was one I was going to bring up is I've heard them called like key man policies or something like that, where, again, like you said, really the idea being it's just a means to bring in the cash necessary to pay off, you know, a business partner's share of ownership in the event of an untimely death, whatever that may be. And we don't like to talk about those things, but I've seen it happen. I've seen it take place. And so I know it's important. And when a business is strapped for cash, you know, if cash flow is coming and going, and now all of a sudden you got $200,000, you got to come up with to pay for somebody's ownership because they've passed, and your agreement is that's what takes place when somebody passes away or retires or whatever, you have to buy out their ownership. Boy, $200,000 is a tough pill to swallow and can be very detrimental to the future operations of a company. So I'm glad you brought that up. One of the things, I mean, there's so many other things with insurance, and I guess maybe Steve, I'd just bring this up and tell me if you agree or disagree, is probably a couple of things maybe to make sure that you're doing with insurance is, you may say, well, I've got coverage, but maybe you don't. And, you know, I have this policy and it covers all of this stuff. I think maybe a best practice would be at least maybe annually, if not maybe more, is make sure you're sitting down with someone like yourself and reviewing your policy, reviewing your coverages. What is it really covering? And making sure there's no gaps in your insurance protection. Is that a fair thing to say?
Absolutely. The one thing I would advise in that department is, you know, sometimes the best deal is not truly the best deal. Like if you're just looking for the best rate, there might be exclusions and things that are not covered on your policy that you're saving money on in the short term, but ultimately you're leaving yourself exposed and you could find yourself in a world of hurt if you actually come into a situation where a claim's made and no coverage is provided. So, you know, definitely just, especially the more complicated the risk. I've got a good friend that has a pest control company, and we've gone over some of the details of his policy just to ensure that specific incidents would be covered. You know, if something were to happen, you know, if he's got an employee that was to accidentally cause, you know, a client's home to burn down or something like that, you know, we went in and make sure that particular hazard was going to be a covered cause of loss if that came to pass. And so, they're, you know, like I said, the best deal isn't always the best deal price-wise. Just make sure you're covered, or don't bother paying for it. If you're paying for coverage that's not going to cover when you need it, there's no point in spending the money on that.
Okay. Is there anything else? I mean, that's a good point. I think that's where maybe some people get hung up on insurance is they hear the stories, oh, somebody paid all this insurance money and then that wasn't covered. But I don't necessarily maybe blame the insurance company. They're in business to make money, you know, and there's a contract in place. And so I think it's the fault maybe lies somewhere else in the sense, did you really examine your coverage and see what's being covered here? I appreciate that point. Another thing I want to bring up is just, is there anything else to consider when shopping for insurance or buying insurance, coverage you mentioned, maybe prices, the best price is not always the best deal. Is there anything else people should consider when looking for insurance?
Well, just a trusted advisor is the biggest thing, you know, in the personal lines world, we see people landing in places like Geico or Progressive Online and places where you can just go and click some buttons on the internet and ultimately find coverage that's going to be very affordable and satisfy the state requirements. But you'll find with a lot of those policies that they've shaven off, you know, important features where you might not have rental coverage or this glass claim that you're now trying to get repaired is not covered. And it's the same thing in the commercial world. If you're not sitting down with a trusted advisor that can examine some of the gaps and some of the things specific to your business that you need covered, someone that's willing to just visit with you is just super, super important. Definitely more so on the commercial side than it ever would be in the personal lines world. And like you said, meeting annually with your agent as circumstances change, you know, we see businesses growing. And one consideration with commercial insurance is, you know, your rating factor, your premium is based on two things. It's the size of your business. The size of your business kind of gives the insurance carrier an idea of how much business you're doing and then the risk classification. So if you're out there on a oil drilling rig or something like that, then the risk is more substantial than somebody that's, you know, selling widgets out of a little corner shop or something like that. And so the classification and then the size of the business are two things that drive your premium. And so, you know, I have a lot of people that come in to me and say, so-and-so is paying this much for their coverage. How come mine's so much more expensive? And it's definitely not an apples to apples comparison, you know. Okay. And many variables involved
in
generating a premium and generating the coverage required for your situation.
Sounds like the question I get about taxes all the time. Well, so-and-so's only paying this. Why am I paying this? And it's like, oh my goodness, where do we get into that discussion? And so very similar. Let me two quick questions. And then I've got one more, Steve, for you. Just these two quick questions related to kind of shopping for insurance. One for sure relates, the other one maybe be a slight tangent here, but is there such a thing as being overinsured?
Absolutely. Yeah. I've got lots of clients and one key feature that I see a lot that I recommend clients leave off is most insurance policies now will include coverage for things like terrorism and some other things like that, where in most cases for, you know, if you're a financial advisor, there's not a great risk of terrorism bringing your business down, right? And so there's a lot of those coverages that aren't necessary. A lot of times on a business owner policies, it's kind of a package policy. And so there's sometimes some bells and whistles that are included that there's not really a way to shave and prevent, but absolutely. A lot of times people are paying for more coverage than they need. My friend that I mentioned with the pest control business, his prior carrier had all kinds of bells and whistles on his policy that really weren't necessary and definitely not worth the premium he was paying on that policy. And so we shaved it down and maintained the stuff that was important to keep him protected. But, you know, if he's viewing his policy as catastrophic protection against something really bad, and then he can, you know, pay for the minor stuff out of his own pocket and then also keep his claims history clear so that his premiums stay low as he moves forward.
Sure. And that just goes back to your original point is, you know, looking at insurance more for the catastrophic coverage rather than just always having it to just pay all these small claims, because that does affect your premium substantially as the years go on. One other thing I wanted to bring up, because I know a lot of entrepreneurs new to the entrepreneurial world may be working out of their home or doing stuff related to their business out of their home. And they think homeowners policies may be covering business practices. And that may be the case, maybe not. I guess throw your two cents on that. Is that something that, you know, maybe needs to be considered if you're working out of your home, just understanding coverage? Homeowners policies may not be covering business transactions.
Yes, most homeowners policies as a standard policy exclude the risk of an at-home business. That being said, most of them also have the option to add that as a rider on a policy. So if you're doing a small mom and pop shop out of your basement or out of your corner office in the house or the den, you can throw a rider on your homeowner's policy that would be very inexpensive and offer that protection. And so I would definitely recommend visiting just with your personal lines agent to look at covering risks like that. But as your business grows, and they can consult with you year by year, and you know, if a separate policy is needed, they can advise of that situation for sure.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, that was something as you were talking, Steve, I got thinking about that and felt I maybe needed to bring that up, because I know a lot of people, in fact, I'm sitting in my home office right now doing this. So just kind of triggered that response or that question. I guess final question here before we give you a chance, Steve, to maybe let people know where they can find out more about you and Sargent Insurance Group. Is this question, I think insurance agents get a lot of bad raps. You know, they're those snaky salesy, slimy sales guys. I think a lot of people feel that way about it. And maybe even insurance companies get a bad rap. So touch base a little bit on maybe some red flags, some things people can be looking for, because we've talked about, they need to go talk to a professional and they need to, you know, and there is important reasons for insurance. What are some of the red flags maybe they should be looking for as they go out and find a professional? What should they avoid? What should they be kind of cautious about? Touch on that a little bit.
Sure. Well, you know, I mentioned some of the excess coverages that client had at the pest control company. And as he visited with his advisor just kind of tried to sweep those coverages under the rug and didn't have answers for him. So if your advisor isn't willing to go over the details of your policy and explain to you the coverages that are provided, that is certainly an obvious red flag. Insurance carriers will also have AM Best ratings, or you can go on the internet and search AM Best and find out their rating. And if possible, I wouldn't go with any carrier lower than an A rating. Most of our carriers are A+ rating. And you know, that being said, you're always going to have disgruntled customers in the insurance world. I mean, like you'd mentioned, insurance is one of those industries that kind of get a bad name. If you look at any movies, you know, Bob Parr from The Incredibles was an insurance adjuster, and he's kind of the prototypical dreary, horrible occupation that he's, you know, drudging his life through. And the thing is, like, it's a valuable asset for someone to have, you know, the insurance protection that provides your company with, you know, hopefully longevity that can keep you going, you know, in the event that something terrible happens to your business, we can help you pick up the pieces and move forward. And that's, you know, the satisfying part of our job, certainly when something bad happens.
Yeah. So now you mentioned they can go online and search for carrier, you know, search the carrier rating. Is there a specific website, or is it, how would they, you know, somebody go do that just to make sure?
I believe it's ambest.com. If they search that, you can search by carrier and it'll give them, you know, an A through F rating. Like, okay. I said, most of
ambest.com.
Yeah, I believe.
Okay.
Just Google AM Best and it should pop up the website.
Google AM Best. And what we'll do is, for those that are maybe don't have a chance to check it out now, I'll put a link. I'll find out the appropriate link and I'll put it in our podcast show notes so that you can go there and check that out. Yeah, ratings are important. And as you said, you're looking for basically A and above. And, you know, if they're below that, then obviously that insurance company, there's some risk that the insurance you're getting is not going to be very good and the company's not going to be the greatest. So, And is there a way for people to check out insurance, I guess, agents, providers? Is that?
Yeah. So the state of Idaho insurance department, you can go to their website and you can search by agency. And if the agency has complaints, you can find those there.
Okay.
It's nice to have the state agency actually, I mean, they're very, very consumer friendly, and most insurance laws are written in favor of the consumers. And so, I mean, the state's there ultimately to protect the insurance customer and make sure that they're not being taken advantage of by the different carriers. And the state insurance fund or insurance department serves a valuable role to make sure that most of the carriers that are admitted within the state are financially solvent and make sure that they have, you know, the basically money in the bank to pay claims in case something happens. And so, okay. Yeah, they definitely serve a valuable role.
So I guess anybody outside of Idaho who may be listening, just go to your state insurance agency or whatever the state department that's over insurance. You can probably just Google that wherever you're at and you can find that. And if you have questions about a certain broker or whatever, or wondering, that would be the place to go to get that information. And so,
correct.
Yeah. Okay, good. All right, Steve, well, truly appreciate you being on here, but before we close out, I'd like to give you a chance to kind of brag up Sargent Insurance Group and where people can find you and how they can get a hold of you if they're looking for insurance and need your help.
Absolutely. Well, we'd love to take a look at your business. We've saved customers and clients thousands and thousands of dollars over the years. We actually are licensed in Idaho, Arizona, Utah, and Colorado, and have quite a bit of business down there. You know, started that mainly to serve our snowbirds and people that flee during our harsh winters, but you know, we found quite a bit of business with those customers otherwise. Our physical location, we're on the river on Pancarry Drive in Idaho Falls, 810 Pancarry Drive, Idaho Falls, Idaho. Our office phone number is 208-392-1721, or you can reach me, steve@sargentgrp.com.
Perfect, Steve. Thank you. And I'll put your email and phone number and everything in our podcast show notes so people can contact you and talk to you about insurance, all their insurance needs. And so, Steve, thank you very much for being with us today. Truly appreciate you being on our podcast today.
Thank you. Appreciate being with you, and everyone get life insurance. Make sure your family's protected.
Yeah, Steve, I think that's a great point, and thanks for bringing that up. Make sure you're covering your family as well. In the case of an untimely death, you know, life insurance, we don't all like to pay for it, but I can tell you from experience when it is needed and necessary, boy, it is so valuable. It helps in so many ways. So another good point, Steve, thank you for bringing that up. And again, thank you for being with us on this episode of our podcast. And a big thanks to all our listeners. We cannot do this without you. So thank you for joining us. And please make sure you take a moment to check us out on Facebook and Instagram at Procenic. That's all you got to type in, at Procenic, and you'll be able to find us there and be able to interact with us on our social media pages. Again, links and information related to how you can find us on our social media pages will be in the podcast show notes. And if you do have any questions, that's the best way to find us and ask the questions that you have. Make sure you just send us a direct message and we'd love to answer those questions and just do that on our social media pages. Well, until next time, everyone, we want to wish you all the success possible in your entrepreneurial journey.